Hello, everyone. You're listening to episode 8 of the Merge Marketing Podcast. This is a special episode as we are in the midst of a world-altering event. COVID-19 is what's on everyone's mind, and you're probably struggling with aspects of fear and anxiety due to the uncertainty surrounding the situation. Well, today we are going to be discussing how to take control of your thoughts and emotions so that you can make the right life and business decisions to get through this difficult time. The best part, we are going to use my favorite sport as a metaphor to do so. Let's merge into the interview. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Merged Marketing Podcast with David Lauch and Jason Hunt. This is a show all about unlocking the marketing tactics and secrets behind everyday brands. Each week, we'll bring you expert commentary so that you can make better choices when it comes to growing your business. Thank you for spending time with us. Now let the show begin.
That was awesome. It was another great podcast episode, which we're probably going to bump ahead. You know, we're actually a few episodes ahead right now, but I think this episode, just because of the timeliness of it, we touch on COVID-19 and the mindset that people need to have as we go through a crisis like this. And, you know, it's crazy when we start seeing everybody, you know, hitting up Costco and Walmart for the toilet paper and hand sanitizer, and people just maybe not understanding why they're doing this. You know, there it's this point of, you know, survival, feast or famine, and it's funny, just people just are not self-aware. And we really dive into that in this episode with Tim O'Connor. Tim O'Connor is a performance coach and has a lot of background dealing with this, specifically with golfers. David, you got a lot of tips and tricks in that episode as well, as an avid golfer yourself.
I did, yeah. And I mean, it's stuff that I already kind of knew. Don't let the negative thoughts into your mind. Take a deep breath, all of this sort of stuff. But it's easier said than done. So to have a coach really walk you through it and help you along the way to improve your game is super important. And I love that Tim can put this in the context of business and how people like you and I can make better decisions and not let what's going on in the world right now get the better of us and get the better of our judgment. So today is, as you said, really great episode. I hope it's going to help a lot of people. We're going to bump it up and let's kick over to it.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Merge Marketing Podcast. Today, Jason and I have a very exciting episode for you. Our guest today is Tim O'Connor, a golf and mental performance coach. He is the head coach of the University of Guelph golf team and a co-host of the Swing Thoughts podcast. He is Golf Ontario's 2020 recipient of the Lorne Rubenstein Media Award for contributions to golf in Ontario. Today, he will be using golf as a metaphor to life and business and help the business owners and marketing professionals listening to this control the negative thoughts and emotions they may be experiencing during this interesting time. Tim, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning. It's good to be on with you guys.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. So before we get started today, please just, if you could, share a little bit about yourself and maybe how you got into the golf industry, what roles you had ultimately leading into you becoming a mental performance coach. I think that would be a great place to start for our listeners.
Yeah, cool. So, I won't give you when I was born and everything, but I did grow up in London, Ontario. I was fortunate enough to be a member with my parents at Sunningdale Golf and Country Club. And I was a much better caddy than I was a player, but I was very avid junior golfer. I wanted to play really well. I was a pretty good athlete. But I got into music and like deep into music, so much so that I became a music journalist in my 20s. I was the music critic for the Canadian Press News Agency. So I got to interview people like David Bowie, Lou Reed, guys in U2, a very, very cool job. But I reconnected with golf then, and I just went, like, just as I do with things, I go neck deep. And so I just became an obsessed golfer. And, you know, I wanted to be a scratch player like the guys I caddied for. But I really found pretty quickly that I was just a paralysis by analysis basket case by trying to swing correctly and hit all the positions and all that kind of good stuff. So I just did what I always do, and I went neck deep instead of golf mechanics. Oh, into golf performance and mental, you know, psychology stuff. And so I maintained my journalism. I then became actually a golf writer. I covered the PGA Tour. I covered seven Masters and PGAs and U.S. Opens and stuff like that. Wrote four books. I wrote the biography of The Feeling of Greatness, the Mo Norman story. And then I got into PR. But then I came back. I came to golf because in coaching, largely out of my own obsession and that what I call myself is essentially a wounded warrior. And every coach is that. A coach is someone who's been going down their own journey and path trying to work stuff out. And we've got a degree of experience and some knowledge and some things to share. So we kind of come back to our community and go, you know, look, I think we can help you here. And that's what drives a coach, is that sense of fulfillment of having gone through these experiences and then helping others, or more, I think the better word is empowering others, so that they can reach their goals, whether it be, you know, in golf or business or their marriage, community, or whatever. So that's largely how I got into it. I just saw that I had an ability, some talent, pretty good facilitator. I'm a member of the Mankind Project, a worldwide network of about 70,000 men around the world. And I just kind of put all this stuff together and went, let's do this. So I've been in the coaching space for about 6 years, working with golfers. That's my community. A lot of it goes into, in essence, life coaching and working with business people and organizations, largely helping them move to where they want to get to. So it's all kind of sort of in the same basket.
I want to ask a question about the wounded warrior kind of mentality, Tim. Would you think that's kind of a prerequisite for anybody really wanting to be a mentor out there? Because essentially, you're learning from your mentor's mistakes, and you know, learning from those, and not, so you don't make those same mistakes yourself. Would you say that would be a prerequisite for that role?
I would say absolutely it does, because we don't do a lot of us in our culture. We're in a culture an analytical thinking, intellectual culture. So what we do, we're kind of get the tsunami of information coming to us, particularly through social media and, but you know, books and knowledge. And so people who want to achieve seek knowledge, and that is great, but understanding is in essence the booby prize. Where we learn is from experience, and there's no way getting around it. So it's through bouncing up against those things that hold us back, like our belief systems, the stories we tell ourselves, and it's going through the ordeal, doing battle with your own stories and shadows. That's where we learn, and there's no way around it. You look at everything in your life that you've, the key lessons you've learned, it wasn't necessarily on a good day or a happy experience, but you got through it, and that's where you learn, because nothing changes unless you are really pushed. And
It's interesting because, I mean, social media provides such a great platform for people to tell that story of that kind of wounded warrior mentality. And that's kind of a good way. A lot of, you know, entrepreneurs and business owners can leverage social media and coming up with ideas to create that content is by using this sort of foundation of the wounded warrior. What are some other methods that you've used to kind of project that messaging out there?
I think the key thing is, in essence, a lot of it is telling my story. In essence, I had to go against my training. As a journalist, you are, at least when I was in the business about, you know, 30 years ago, it was like, stay the hell out of the way. You didn't use the perpendicular pronoun, the I word. You just told stories and stayed the hell out of the way. And that works to some degree, but in terms of when you're a coach acting as a mentor, it's, if I tell about my experiences, what I went through, then someone can bounce off of that rather than me kind of acting as the sage on the stage. I'm the expert. You just listen to me. you download my messages and you'll do everything correctly. That's not how it works. We all work from our own experience. So when I talk about my experiences, whether it's in my blog or keynotes or workshops, people can then reflect their own experiences. I mean, that's why we go to movies and things. That's why we're infatuated by Harry Potter and Frodo. So when we see them, we, in essence, reflect our own experiences through what we see happening to them. And that's the best, that's one of the best ways I think that we can, as coaches, thought leaders, I guess you want to say, can connect with an audience. And they go, yeah, this person has been through what I've been through.
Yeah, absolutely. And that makes a lot of sense. And Jay, I'm really glad you brought up that wounded warrior topic, because that was the first thing that Tim, when you said that, really caught my attention. I'm like, wow, I've never heard of that before. And the way that you phrased it and came up with the idea makes so much sense. And it's so true when it comes to coaches, right? It's really them experiencing things and failing and going through difficult times and then ultimately wanting to help people get better and go get through them themselves. So thank you for sharing kind of your backstory, how you got into what you do now. I really appreciate that. So for today, I approached this episode a little bit differently than I guess I normally would. And Jay can attest that I'm usually a lot more structured in how I set up my interviews, and I have questions that I like to go through. But today I didn't really do that. And it wasn't because I didn't want to prepare or I wasn't prepared, but I feel that we can really use this opportunity to dive into a rabbit hole on mindset, performance, and accountability. So that the business owners and marketing audience that we really have here, that might be going through some feelings of anxiety and the inability to maybe control their emotions with all the uncertain times that that we're going through, I'd really like to help those individuals out. So that's kind of what I want to do for this interview today.
Absolutely.
So, I guess to start, Tim, I'd really love to get your thoughts on this whole COVID-19 pandemic and how you see it affecting people's mindsets and potentially their performance, especially when it comes to making rational decisions.
Okay. All right. You know what? Just like I did a moment ago, I'll talk with my own experience. So I've, particularly last weekend, I found myself at... In stores, and just feeling some like anxiety. Like I went to freaking Walmart. I was in line at Walmart last Saturday morning to get in. I don't even like going to Walmart, but there I was before it opened, and because I wanted to get some isopropyl alcohol, and I went, as soon as I went and made a beeline to it, and of course when I got there, shelf is completely empty. And I just found this like kind of anxiety coming up in me. It's just like this blackness in my gut churning around. And it was kind of like, oh, what do I do? What do I do? And I was just aware that I was in a fight or flight state. And it was just that awareness of like, oh, there I am. I'm in that state. I could feel my body going. And then my thoughts started to go. And that's, I think, a key thing that I'm having a lot of conversations with people is what's happening to them in their bodies. What is their, because we feel our emotions through our bodies. And when we become aware of what's going on, just kind of like taking a pause, what's happening here, you can do it whether you're sitting at your desk, talking with your partner, or sitting in front of your computer, you just kind of do what I call a check-in. What am I feeling right now? Because we're largely in a thinking culture. I mean, that's, you think about the people we revere. It's, oh, that guy's so smart and he did this and that. Yeah, but what we do is we disconnect from what's really going on, and we can feel that in our bodies. So that's a thing I've been talking about a lot. It's just practicing, starting with awareness is doing a check-in. What's going on for me right now? And that might be some foreign territory for a lot of people because we're so caught up in our heads. So that's a place to start, is that what am I feeling right now?
Tim, can we break that down for a second on exactly what the kind of process looks like when you are like checking yourself and making yourself aware? Is it like meditation? Like, go through the process that you go through when you go to kind of commence that sort of stuff.
In essence, I kind of just press pause, and it might be rolling away from my desk. It might be just standing in the aisle at Walmart, and it's just take my attention to my body. What's going on? I'm in essence just, what's going on? What am I feeling in my stomach? Are my shoulders tense? What's going on in my stomach? It's just taking myself out of my head and checking in. What's going on in my body? That's where it starts.
It's interesting. In a previous episode, we had a doctor on, and we were talking about a specific tactic to do in a situation like that, and that was breathe in through your nose for 4 seconds and out of your nose for 4 seconds. I think that is probably a little technique that people can deploy as well in these same circumstances. Well,
that is, in essence, that's exactly where we're at. See, because our breathing is connected, obviously it's part of our body. And you see, our body is always in the present moment. You know, we hear ad nauseum, you know, from let's say a golfer. You say, you know, he's interviewed after he comes off the green after he's winning a good tournament, and he's asked, so what made the difference today? And he or she says, well, you know, I was really connected in the present moment. I was really in the now, if you will. And we hear it so much, we don't even know what it means. What it is that a lot of it, we are connected to the present moment, where our body, our minds are not in the future. You know, oh, if I par in from here, I could win. Oh, that three putt's going to cost me, so future or past, because that's what our minds do. Our minds are wired to keep us alive by going backwards and forwards. You see, our bodies, they haven't quite done that Star Trek thing of transporting back and forth. Our body is always in the present moment. So you could check in with the feeling, the breathing, the feeling of just your chest going in and out, wiggling your toes, flexing your arms. All of that keeps you in the present moment, because while you're in your body, you're not in your head, because your mind can't be in two places at once. So it's just what it does when you connect with your body, whether it's through your breathing, the feeling of what's going on in your body. You are in the present moment, and that is always calming. You always just feel a little bit better, a little bit more at peace when you're doing that. And it may sound kind of woo for some people, but this is what the best athletes in the world, certainly the best golfers do, is they have a process where they check in, and it starts with their body that anchors them in the present moment.
That's interesting. I mean, yeah, awareness is definitely a big thing. I know for myself, I've been doing a lot of research this week to figure out exactly how to control my thoughts and emotions during this time, because I've noticed for myself personally, I've just felt this increased feeling of anxiety, more so than just my normal everyday anxiety that I deal with. But how I can control this and how I can help other business owners or people out there that might be experiencing the same thing. And it really just does come down to things as simple as taking a second to step back and take a deep breath, and yep, then making your decision or doing whatever it is that you need to do. Because I think, you know, in today's society and with everything that's being promoted out there, awareness comes up a lot, and mindfulness comes up a lot, and meditation comes up a lot. And these things to most people are very confusing. They don't know how to practice mindfulness or how to go about doing it, or what awareness even means. So I think that it really just starts with taking a step back, taking a deep breath, and then making a decision. But can you shed some light into any of the other steps in the process, for maybe some of those professional athletes or golfers that you've dealt with?
Oh, sure. Okay. So I'll just give you one quick story. about, so here's what I do with my golf team. Before every tournament, before every meeting we have as a team, I ask them, what are you feeling and what's the story? And when you have new players on the team who aren't used to it, they kind of look at me weird, like, what do you mean? Especially the guys. Because, you know, like feelings to most guys, that's like bodily fluids. Ick, get that stuff out of here, right? We just don't like dealing with it. But the point I make is that if we don't know what we're feeling, it has us. We don't have control over it. It has us. We don't even know what it's about. So with golfers, particularly as they're getting ready for a round or they're on the first tee preparing for to hit their first shot, what I'll have them go through is to stand on the tee, check in with their body. And if they say that they say their heart is pounding a little bit fast, or they're thinking, geez, I don't want to block this right over here, I want to get this round off to a good start, their body's already in a state of excitement and their minds are also already in the future. So what they could just do is just, okay, I feel my heart going for sake of example. So I'm just going to start to breathe and I'm really just going to focus on my breathing. And yes, it's just like meditation. You're going to sit there and breathe, maybe feel the air come in and out of their nostrils. Perhaps it's just feeling their stomach go in and out. And here's what's going to happen. They're going to start to think. They go, oh, I'm in thinking. And then being aware, oh, I'm thinking. What do I want to do? Bring it back to my breath. Bring it back to my body. And through that process, they start to just be able to ground themselves and feel a little bit more calm. And they just kind of move through the process. And every golfer has a different kind of process. But the key, if you don't know what you're feeling, as I said, it has you. You don't have it.
Yeah. And so, you know, just kind of reflecting on in this case, my golf game, you know, I'll tell myself those thoughts like, oh man, there's water right there. I really don't want to go in there. Or there's forest to the right. I don't want to go right. You know, these sorts of things I'm telling myself in my head. So by taking a deep breath and encouraging your students to do that, is that in effect removing those thoughts?
It is. But you see, what's going to happen is because our brains are wired to keep us alive, whether it's, you know, it's thousands of years ago and you got to get food for your family, or you're a golfer who's trying to stay safe, if you will, on the tee, your brain is naturally going to go to the danger because that's what we're hardwired to do to keep us alive. So it's totally natural to do that. But it doesn't serve us because our brains have antiquated old wiring. So what we want to do is in essence to take control of our minds and place it where we want our attention to be. So a golfer would go like, okay, yeah, I acknowledge there's water over here. So one thing is that where do I want my ball to go? Well, you know what? Because the water's on the right-hand side, I think what I'll do is I'll tee up on the extreme right-hand side and I'll hit towards the left side to hit over here and I'll focus on this tree. In fact, I'll focus on that branch and the leaves I see on it. And that's my target. And best I can, I'm going to connect with that target in my process of let it go and swing with that target in mind.
So, Tim, and like in terms of golf, I am not, I golf once a year. So for the game of golf for me is like I go out there and I cannot commit 100% mentally to it because I'm a super competitive guy and I just suck at it. Okay, so and it's a tough sport to play when you're playing with a lot of people that are competitive and want to win, and you just know you have no chance in hell of winning. So my question is can you relay that same type of metaphor or idea to a salesperson that's rifling off cold calls? And you know, because that is something that, you know, I have a lot of experience in doing, and it's a tough game. It's a tough go doing any sort of cold outreach. So how can you take that same type of mentality and apply it to a sales role, for example?
Okay. I would say a key piece for anyone in business is to understand, why do you do it? You have to start with your why. Why are you in this? Why are you in this particular role? So let's say you've got a salesperson. Well, the salesperson wants to feed his or her family, so they have to make some money. But we get that part. But if you're focused on the result, focused on this call, I want to get this customer, either it's to plant the seed or I want to make this sale. Totally get that's the intention. But if that's what you're directly focused on, is the result, the outcome, there's going to be way too much emotion attached to it and you're going to go up and down. So what I'm doing, connecting to the why, let's say the salesperson wants, if they come from a place of, I love helping people. That's their why. That's really why they're doing this thing. If you come at it from that intention, I want to help this person I'm working with. I want to help them solve the problem they particularly have in this, in their business or whatever. And through that, trying to help them, I will create a relationship with this person. And that way, when I have a relationship, then we have operate from a place of trust, from a sake of being helping each other. And it's just really good sort of an energy exchange. By focusing on what on our true intentions, as opposed to, geez, I hope I make this sale, we're more likely to get the things we want, make the sale, while fulfilling what really makes us feel good, which is like, is helping someone. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. No, 100%. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I guess, I mean, that was more of a practical, day-to-day thing that might happen, but I guess, how are people being affected when it comes to feelings of, you know, my business is going to shut down, the government's going to shut everything down, you know, I can't keep advertising, I can't keep paying staff, like getting through those thoughts that will just take over your mind and just almost cripple you from making any sort of rational decision. I want to know kind of how someone could get through this whole COVID-19 pandemic, and maybe get them in your terms, get them unstuck.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly by practicing, awareness of what's going on for them right now. But I would say the key thing that you could do is to connect with someone who you trust and have a conversation. We are wired as social animals. And what tends to happen, unfortunately, through our training, through the movies we watch, through how we were brought up as kids and whatnot, and particularly men, unfortunately, is that in times of crisis, we often tend to isolate. And that's even worse now because so many people are having to work at home. And what happens is that it's kind of like the gerbil on the wheel, and our thoughts going and can race. And what often happens is that we just get caught in delusion and fantasy, and just our thoughts, in essence, run away from us. It's kind of what I call the spiral vortex of death. And yeah, our just thoughts can run away with us. So by practicing degree of awareness, we can kind of press pause, but I really think that the best thing that we can all do for each other is to reach out and connect and talk. I've been using this line a few times, and it is, let's do something really radical, people. Let's use the phone part of our phone and talk to somebody and just say, hey, man, I got all kinds of crap going on. Would you just maybe listen to me for a bit and talk it out? And then for the other person, just to listen. Just to hold space, no judgment, no commentary, no, hey, man, it'll get better. No, none of that. Just an exchange. And what happens when we let go of kind of like this poison of our thoughts, they kind of roil around in our guts and makes us feel bad. In essence, when we let go of that stuff, when we release it, we just feel way, way better. So that, to me, if there's anything that we can do to kind of diminish the sense of anxiety we have and fear, is connect with someone you can trust and just have conversations. And you'd be amazed at how much people will feel better by doing it. Now, it sounds kind of ridiculous to be talking about, because isn't that kind of common sense? But yeah. Unfortunately, it's my experience, particularly facilitating men, is that a lot of them don't even know how to do it. So, but that's a key thing for me, is that let's talk to each other, for God's sakes.
Yeah, that's good advice. I mean, I think you're right. Like, you made a comment that men in particular may not know how to do it, but it really just comes down to just reach out, just talk to each other, let people know what's on your mind and what you're thinking. Because what I'm finding right now is that there's a lot of people out there that are letting this take over their lives, and they're really playing, I don't want to say the victim, but it almost seems like they're feeling victimized by this pandemic, and they're basically just putting up their hands and surrendering and not fighting back and not going as if business is as usual. Keep doing your thing, keep innovating, and things will get better, right? Like, we've gone through this before, things will get better. I need to just continue to move forward. Mm-hmm. Because I find that in moments of, difficulty, there's a lot of opportunity that people aren't seeing, and there's a lot of lessons to be learned. Right. So, the big thing that I wanted to communicate to people on this is just take a deep breath, just relax. Yeah. Everything's going to be okay. Yes, there are, confusing and technical, I guess, processes to be able to meditate and really get into a state of feeling better. But at the end of the day, I just want people to feel like they just need to take a deep breath. You need to think about these things rationally. Don't let your thoughts take over your mind, because when that happens, we start making dumb decisions like buying a lifetime supply of toilet paper or shutting down our businesses, and it's just unnecessary.
Yeah, and in essence, so it's like, let's say a golfer. This is, this is the world I live in. Yeah. A golfer is going along pretty well, say in a tournament, and he blocks one in the trees, and then he tries to hit another shot and hits another tree, and then his thoughts just start to run away from him, and he starts to, in essence, panic, and all kinds of thoughts come, and in essence, so you lose control of your thoughts, you lose control of your body, and now you're not connected to all those things that puts you in contention. In the same way, a business person has got years of experience, relationships, talent, but with so much pressure on right now, in particular in a culture, it's really anxieties in our zeitgeist. We could just really lose sight of the things that we really have, and everyone has so much talent and experience within them, but if we lose connection to that, we're really putting ourselves behind the eight ball. And the way that often happens is just like you said, if we view ourselves as a victim, we lose our power. So yeah. In terms of the accountability work that I do, is I operate from this premise. Accountability is when I take 100% responsibility for my actions and their consequences, intended or unintended. I take 100% responsibility for my actions and their consequences, intended or unintended. Excuse me for playing the teacher here, but that's what I do. So if I take that mentality, even in times of crisis, I remain in control. And I still have a degree of power that I can call upon and implement. But if I'm the victim, then the tsunami of fear and information and misinformation is going to overtake me, and then I lose my power, I lose my grounding, I lose my ability to pilot my ship.
So what I'm hearing you say is you're encouraging people to really just rely on their experience, and that they know what they're doing, they've been through maybe something like this before, and they're going to be okay.
Yeah, so what we do, again, it's wiring. Our brains are wired to a negative bias, because that it's survival. And right now we're in a culture where a lot of people are grappling in a metaphorical way for survival. Not necessarily that they're going to get eaten by the saber-toothed tiger, but that the virus and what it's doing to the business is going to eat them and their business alive.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like this.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Tim, I feel like, you know, this is such a good episode and timely episode that I think everybody needs to listen to right now, because there's just so much value that's being exerted through this episode. Through, like, a lot of people, you know, we touched on a lot of things, and a lot of people are in a position that they never thought they would ever be in, or have thoughts that they ever thought they would think. And, you know, and like what David touched on, people running to the stores to get crazy amounts of toilet paper because of its scarcity, its feast or famine, and survival. And these are just all things that people never imagined themselves doing. Do you think these people hoarding toilet paper thought 2 months ago that they'll be running the Costco fighting people for toilet paper? They would probably never imagine that. So I think a lot of this all boils down to awareness and self-awareness at that, and people just being aware of what they're thinking, and just like you said, taking a step out of their body and having this out of body experience to understand what they're thinking and why they're thinking it.
One of the things that thank you. And I'm glad you're finding value in this podcast. I'm really, really enjoying it. I feel some real excitement in my body. My heart's going up a bit because I think we're talking to some really important stuff. One of the teachers that I really enjoy listening to, her name is Tara Brock. And I just love listening to her. She does these guided meditations and talks. And sometimes I just love listening to her voice because it's just so soothing. It's like audio Xanax or something. It just kind of blisses me out. But she talks, she uses a phrase that I just love, and it's called hitting the sacred pause. And again, so that sounds kind of dramatic and woo-woo to people, but sacred as in this is really important. This is something that this is so important that it's in fact sacred. And if we kind of view it from that perspective, that might just be the thing that could cause you from, you know, making a really bad quick left turn into traffic. It could be the thing that keeps you from making, you know, a phone call that you're going to rip somebody a new one. Because you're just scared out of your mind. You could do some damage to your business, to your relationships. If we practice the sacred pause, you could almost see your finger, you know, old style, hitting the, you know, on the tape recorder, hit pause. Then, and just kind of go, okay, what's going on here right now? What the F is going on? And then you could kind of center yourself, because here's a phrase I also love. It's called awareness is curative. When I'm aware of what's going on, I have it. It doesn't have me, in essence, and that's the start of where we can let go. And once you are aware of what's going on, I'm standing here, my heart's racing, my head is pounding, I'm angry at somebody or I'm afraid, you'll just find that starts to seep away. So you don't have to get in the lotus position. You don't have to be sitting on a cushion. You don't have to have a headband. You know, it's just, you can just stand there in your office and go, what is going on? I'm going to do that sacred pause thing. And that might just help you get through, you know, the next 10 minutes or the afternoon.
Love it.
Yeah, that's awesome. The sacred pause. We've kind of touched on various, ways that we can kind of take a sacred pause today, which is great. And this episode, as Jason mentioned, Tim, is amazing, and it's perfect timing for us, because what really prompted this conversation was everything that's going on. And Jason and I, in our business, which is a marketing agency, have experienced two levels of extreme this week that are just difficult to process. On the one hand, we have, you know, clients and businesses that are trying to throw in the towel and throw up their hands and say, I don't want to leave my house, I don't want to get dressed, just whatever, close down. And then you have other people that are in industries that, in my opinion, are one of the hardest hit in industries currently, because they were forced to close down, and that's restaurants and bars, that are taking this opportunity to say, you know what, I'm not going to let this put me out of business. I'm not going to let this control what I do. And I'm going to innovate a little bit. I might not make as much money, but I'm going to keep the doors open and I'm going to keep my employees employed. And that's the two levels of extremes that I've seen. So, you know, this week I've been trying to really think about how can I communicate to people to just think about what's going on, make rational decisions, and we're all going to get through this. So I think your advice as a coach and talking to us today about taking that sacred pause and being aware of what's going on in the moment is extremely valuable for hopefully the businesses listening and hopefully they will do that before they make a life altering decision in some cases.
Yeah. So thank you for that. The only thing I'll just add to that, and this is very kind of Buddhist thinking of their philosophy, but, and I think this is what could help get people through, like everything is impermanent. Mm-hmm. Everything changes. It's always changing. So just the way to look at that in practical terms and what's going on is that if we take the view and see, if we look at everything as impermanent, as always changing, that keeps us present to what's happening now, as opposed to kind of having this golden idea of, oh, everything was so great before the virus, or everything was so great 2 years ago. Well, everything changes. So in a practical way, we have to adapt or die.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at. So this is going to be really painful, what happens to a lot of people, but we're resilient folks. We've been through plagues, world wars, holocausts, polio, Spanish flu, and hitting the ball into the woods. We are resilient. And as long as we keep seeing our true value and what we're really, the goal that we all have, and adapt and just keep breathing and talking and in essence loving on each other, we'll get through this.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Jay, do you have any final comments?
No, I think that I think that sums it up. I think Tim concluded that greatly. I think, Tim, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. I know Dave's gonna have a couple last questions for you.
Yeah, well, I want to thank you as well for your insights today. They were extremely valuable to help hopefully others unwrap the negative thoughts and feelings that they may be having due to the coronavirus pandemic at the moment. This episode for me, it was amazing as it combined some of my biggest interests in life, and that's business, marketing, and ultimately golf, my favorite sport. So this was great. It was a pleasure to have you on. So for those that might want to get in touch with you, Tim, because maybe you said something that really spoke to them or interested in them, or maybe they want to work with you and you can help their golf game, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Just go to my website, which is O'ConnorGolf.ca. And, you know, there you'll find my email address, phone, all that good stuff. But O'ConnorGolf.ca. No apostrophe in the O'Connor, just O'ConnorGolf.ca.
Perfect. Thank you. And of course, we would love to hear from you as well. So please reach out to us on social at Merge Media. Visit our website, merge.ca, or email us at podcast@merge.ca. And don't forget to rate and subscribe to the podcast. Okay, Tim, we have one final question, which I'm super excited about. So we end every single episode the same way. We ask our guests if they could choose one person, dead or alive, to represent their brand. Who would it be and why?
Oh my. Well, okay. Jesus. And I'm not a religious guy, honestly. Yeah. I had two uncles who were priests. Good little, you know, Irish Catholic boy, all that good stuff. But you asked me that question and Jesus jumped into my head.
I thought you were just saying Jesus. I don't know, but it was actually Jesus. That's great. Well, any reason why he was the first one that popped into your mind?
He had a great beard for one thing. I mean, that guy, he was a good looking guy from all the pictures I've seen, good looking guy. Secondly, just operated from a place of integrity, you know, like all his, you know, here's my integrity definition. My thoughts, my words and actions are in alignment, integrity. And he operated from that place. And so it wasn't about self-aggrandizement. It wasn't about, I'm better than you. It was just about, empowering others to be the best they could be. And I figure that's a pretty good model. Yeah, so I'm going with Jesus.
Let's go with Jesus. Very cool. I was banking on you were going to pick one of your favorite golfers, but you know what? We didn't go down that route, and that is okay.
I think Jesus would be a heck of a golfer too, though, right?
Yeah, I bet. I bet he would be. Perfect. Okay, well, thanks again, Tim. We really appreciate you being on the show today, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care, guys. Thank you.
See ya.